back to Legally Judgy. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alexa.
Alexa.
Girl.
What?
You want to hear the latest?
Yeah, duh. Give me the tea. Give me the goss.
You kind of know a bit about this because I've been telling you.
Okay.
But for some reason, this week, call me a yogi. I'm super into it this week.
Okay.
I don't know how long it's going to last. It'll probably be up right after we record this
episode.
Can you
even touch your toes?
Actually, yeah, I'm very flexible.
This week? Okay.
No, it's genetic. My mom is really flexible. Somehow it got passed down to me.
But you have like bad knees.
They move. They bend. Okay. They're bad, but they bend.
Okay.
So I've been doing more yoga.
Okay.
And I got into Pilates. My wife has been saying that I need to do it for ages. To your point, I got a bad knee. I got a bad foot. I got a bad back. Like, it just makes sense.
You're just broken.
Okay. I'm just like a little potato head. I don't know. And so I've been resisting it though, because I was like, nah, it's too woo-woo for me. That's my name for like, you know, I want to do boot camps. I want to like, I don't know, bite iron as if I'm like this tough guy, right? Mm-hmm. I think I'm Jason Momoa and I'm not.
No.
But I started doing some yoga and I got to tell you, my favorite pose is pigeon pose.
I don't know that one.
I thought you would because you're the hot yoga girl.
All the time, I know.
Are you okay, girl? There we go. Keep that okay. In. I like that.
Clear it out. Sorry.
Get in my allergies. Emo.
It's allergy season.
No, it's quite all right. So this pigeon pose.
I don't know that one.
You lay on the ground and then you have like you're on your stomach essentially, and then you raise up and your one leg comes out in front at a 90 degree angle and the other leg is back. So you're like, producer Marge, can we get a picture of the pigeon pose? So I love this stuff, right? Because my hips, I'm like an old lady.
Okay.
We have desk jobs. I'm always with my hips.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that's called pigeon pose. Okay.
It's called pigeon pose. You don't trust me?
Literally just a stretch.
They call it pigeon pose. Okay, now I feel more special when they have a name for it. Okay. But I got to thinking one day when I was pigeon posing and I was like, how many pigeons have you seen that pose
that do that
like
pose.
This?
Yeah.
Where do these names come from?
Okay.
Now, I know that they're translated.
Like upside down dog? Is that what that's called?
Upside down dog. No, not quite.
What's it called?
Wouldn't an upside down dog mean you were on your back and I guess just flailing your arms out? Upside down dog?
You know what I'm talking about? The one.
Why can't I remember it?
See?
What, Marge?
Downward dog. I got it.
Upside down dog. You didn't get it. Marge is mouthing it to us. Neither of us got it. We're pieces of shit. Clearly, Marge needs to be doing this podcast. Upside down dog. But downward dog, that's a good point. Dogs do that. We have two dogs. They do that all the time. A pigeon, I go for walks every day.
They do the backstretch too?
I see pigeons. Yes, they do that.
Oh.
Cats actually do that
animals,
as well.
So.
But I'm out in the wilderness every day walking my dogs. Okay. I've never seen one goddamn pigeon pose like this.
Pigeon pose.
Where the fuck are these pigeons who are posing like this? I just feel
I
like it's giving me unrealistic standards.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they just made that up to make it more marketable for pigeon a certain pose. Subset of people, but
I looked it up in case you were wondering. I thought maybe you would ask me.
And what was, sorry, how did they get there, Alexa? What was the history
Thank
of pigeon
you,
pose?
Nicole, you're so thoughtful. Honestly, I took 5 seconds. I got bored after. But I looked it up for a few seconds, and apparently it's supposed to evolve more than that. To your point, what we do is like a little measly stretch. But the full pigeon pose, you like puff up your chest, and apparently pigeons like to do that. They puff up their chests. They're very confident animals.
How do the legs factor in?
Girl, I don't know. That's when I got bored. I stopped paying attention. I just paid attention to the puffy chest. So now that's what I do.
All right. Well, I appreciate this history on yoga poses.
I don't know how good of a history it is, but it's definitely better than upside down dog.
Listen, I just couldn't remember the name, okay? I'm having a little like brain lapse. It's, you know, the end of the day.
Is this telling of what your week has been like?
It's been a crazy one.
Are you a little tired?
It was such a long week, and I have nothing to share about my life. I really tried to like get inspired by everything you just said to me, but I've got nothing for you.
I think pigeon was enough for both of us. What's your favorite yoga pose while we're here?
Not upside down dog, apparently.
What about the happy baby? Are you a happy baby kind of girl?
No, I really don't like happy baby.
It feels too free.
It's just weird. I don't know. Like nothing. Like it just doesn't feel good to my body. I do like warrior too, though.
Is that when you're like?
It's like, yeah.
The arms out.
Your arms are out. Your legs are out.
You would like that.
It just feels like I'm like, you know,
ready for battle.
I'm a boss bitch. I'm ready to take somebody out.
It's a very confident stance. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be very surprised if you like happy baby for anybody who doesn't do yoga. You're like on your back mm-hmm. and your feet are like in the rolling. Air and you're like holding your feet and you just roll back and forth.
Yeah. It's not my jam.
It's a little too free for me. I can't imagine being in a group and doing that.
I'm too competitive for that.
What would you do? Happy baby around the room?
No, I just...
What do you mean competitive? How do you compete?
It just feels lazy. Like, I just like to... I like to take, like a strong upward stance and be like, I'm here.
Oh, so do you...
Like, I'm the bitch in charge.
Oh.
So...
You're worrying over the happy babies.
Yeah. I like to stand over everybody.
You make everything competitive. You find a way.
I truly do. I like to win at life.
Well, A-Rod would Winners. Probably argue that he is a winner at life. He is not a winner. But I think that's a little questionable.
He is not a winner.
You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan of A-Rod.
I feel like the last couple episodes, you've just not been big fans of the subjects of our episodes.
I mean, I don't like most people, honestly, generally in life. It's true. So,
A-Rod's,
you know,
not
it's like one exact. In a handful that I like. But you tell us about A-Rod, because fuck A-Rod.
Okay. Well, this is setting a tone, huh? No happy baby. Fuck A-Rod. All right. Our guy, A-Rod. His full name, Alexander Emmanuel Rodriguez. He was born in 1975, and he was actually born in kind of like the area that you have been living in for the 12 years of your life.
This is how you know that she has no idea what New
Washington
York is.
Heights?
He was in Washington Heights. Was not near Washington
Well,
Heights.
What I was thinking was Manhattan.
So just Manhattan's just all one place to you?
Well, okay. I just thought maybe you could relate to him. I'm trying to get you to like him a little bit.
I can't relate to the millions and or the cheating, so I'm going to say no.
Look, A-Rod, I tried. I'm sorry. You lost a fan today. So he was born in Washington Heights. Apparently, that's not where Nicole ever lived, but it's somewhere in Manhattan, which is in New York. I don't know.
Manhattan.
Manhattan. Fuck. Is that not how... what do you say, man?
I thought LA Manhattan? People don't say the T's.
I was trying to be Huntington. Better.
Huntington.
It's not Huntington. What are you doing? For everybody who doesn't know, I've been teasing Nicole about her coming to California and telling me she was going to Huntington Beach. And we in California do not say that. It's a little city in the Orange County. We say Huntington. You don't say T's when you're a Californian.
Huntington.
It's true. Santa Monica?
But then you just said, you were like Manhattan.
Because you told me about this and I was like, I'm going to be proper now.
You say Manhattan.
So you don't, say it again?
Manhattan.
You don't say the T either?
Look, it's there.
Manhattan?
Subtle. It's subtle.
Okay, whatever. Oh my God, apparently we don't give a fuck about A-Rod. Do we even talk about him? Let's just talk about how we don't pronounce T.
This episode here.
So back to A-Rod. He was born to Dominican immigrant parents. And for a time during childhood, they actually moved back to the Dominican and then to Miami. And I think that's where he grew up for most of his life. It seems like he was in Miami. And he ends up getting pretty good at baseball in high school. And he starts to build his life around that. And in 1993... It's so crazy to say. 1993, it's so long ago now. Jesus.
We're also old. Like babies then.
Yeah, that's the one saving grace here. He was actually the first high school player to try out for the U.S. National Baseball Team. And he gets a scholarship to the University of Miami. But, of course, money calls. And he ends up skipping out on college and goes straight to the pros. He ends up starting with Seattle Mariners. And he starts with a three-year contract for $1.3 million and a $1 million sign-on bonus.
I, too, would have skipped undergrad for that.
For that money?
Yeah, for sure.
That's easy. Yeah.
I mean, at that point in your life, like, you don't know better.
Can you imagine what, you're, like, 18?
That number seems so large to you. There's, like, such a low chance of you being like, yeah, I'm going to go to school.
Especially back then, too, in 90, whatever that was, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
97, whatever. Let's call it.
I'm not going to do math. What's 93 plus 4? I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. So he played 22 seasons in the MLB.
Yeah. I mean, he played for the Seattle Mariners. From 94 to 2000, he played for the Texas Rangers from 01 to 03, and then last, the New York Yankees, which is obviously, like, where he really came into his glory from 2004 to 2016.
And I was reading a little fun fact that the Rangers actually couldn't afford A-Rod, so they tried to cut him. That's why he was only there for, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. So they tried to cut him under his contract, but the MLB basically stepped in and said, no, that's illegal. You can't just drop him from a contract that you signed because you can't afford him anymore. Mm-hmm. And then fortuitously, the Yankees' third baseman actually suffered a knee injury when he was playing this pickup basketball game in his off time. And so that's how they tapped A-Rod for the third baseman role at the Yankees.
You remember that ice skater, Tanya Harding?
Yes.
Do we think A-Rod smashed that girl's kneecap or paid somebody else to do it?
You mean...
You said fortuitously.
Fortuitously. It wasn't Tonya Harding is the one who smashed Nancy Kerrigan's knee.
She smashed somebody's kneecap. All I'm saying is, did A-Rod smash a kneecap too? I don't care whose kneecap it
He's
was.
He's hiring Tonya Harding. He's like, look, girl, let's get a two-for-one deal.
Wasn't it Tonya's mom? Tonya hired somebody else.
I never watched. Did you watch I, Tonya?
It was pretty good.
I didn't watch it. No, Mark watched it too. I didn't watch it.
It was convincing.
I don't think I would like it. Would I like it? Are there any, like, action? Is there action?
No.
Except for the knee?
I mean, there's drama. Mm. And like Margot Bridgerton? Robbie's in it, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
So now she's going We know what Alexa's doing tonight.
Hashtag bae.
Well, so anyways, after A-Rod smashed people's kneecaps, he became considered one of the greatest. He is considered one of the greatest baseball players of all times. He's got over 600 runs and a bunch of other boring baseball stats. Yawn, yawn.
I can't with you. You really don't even try to care, do you? You literally just said players of all times. Like, you don't even care.
Sorry. One of the greatest baseball players of all times. Yawn. Is that not a sport that he plays?
It is, but...
You're making me feel like I'm saying football, and he's a baseball player.
No, but usually you just say of all time. There's only one time, but you keep making it plural. It's hilarious. Well,
there's an S in here.
Of all the times. In all the galaxies, of all the times.
Whatever, fuck it. Go ahead.
Okay, he also, for some people who want to know, which I barely want to know, but I'll give him a little bit more. Okay. 2,000 RBIs, 3,000 hits, 300 stolen bases, and he's the record holder for 25 Grand Slams. Do you know what a Grand Slam is?
No, and I don't care. I know that he won a bunch of baseball awards.
Okay. He's a four-time All-Star, three American League MVPs, 10 Silver Slug Awards, and two Golden Glove Awards.
Cool, cool. And so he's also signed some of the largest contracts in baseball in history. One was for $252 million, and one was for $275 million. I mean, here's the thing. I hate baseball, but I would learn to play baseball for that money.
Have you never played baseball, ever?
Actually, I tried out for the softball team. I think that was, I don't know, it was maybe 6th or 7th grade. I did not make it.
Is that why we're bitter?
No, I mean, I'm clearly not a softball bitch. Like,
why are you
pointing yourself?
What does that
look
mean?
Look at me.
What does that mean?
I'm not rolling.
You don't look like a lesbian
to like tackle people. Like, that's not it. My hair was done back then. There was just no chance that was.
I know it's a stereotype, but everybody who plays softball can definitely beat both of us up, like blindfolded. They're just so strong.
There was this one girl who I'm not going to name who was on the team. Ooh. Who got really mad at another player and kicked her in the shin, and the girl broke her leg and had to play like be out for the whole season.
Are you kidding?
No.
Did something happen?
I still
to
remember her name, but I'm not going to say it. I got your back, girl.
So is she Tonya Harding?
Close.
Is that her first foray into sports?
I went to school with Tonya. What can I say?
All right. So A-Rod ends up retiring from playing in August 2016. He actually had been suffering a bunch of injuries. And so I personally think that basically he was just getting too
old
and he was too injured. At the time, his hip and knee were just given out, and he was just really a designated hitter at that point.
Yeah. Well, so after he retires in 2005, a retired baseball player by the name of Jose Canseco releases a tell-all book revealing all the hot baseball goss, which I love.
Are you excited about that part?
I love when the goss comes.
Real quick, do you know who Jose Canseco is?
Yeah, he's the one who did the skin bleaching.
Okay.
Is that not him? I think that's him.
Yeah, but you literally, all of your references for baseball greats are just like pop culture.
It's all gossip, for sure. I don't care.
Did you know that he broke a bunch of records?
No, and I don't care.
Okay, go on. So, Jose.
Baseball was not built for the blacks. So, like, I just don't. I'm not going to pretend.
Is that
like
what
I
it is? That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, Jose essentially admits to years of steroid use, self-proclaiming that he introduced a lot of players to steroids along the way, and that he even maybe thinks that they're a good thing, and they should be legalized for Major League Baseball players because it enhances the game, right?
Okay.
And he thinks that they're safe if they're taken correctly and if in small doses. So he kind of is doing this whole, like, this book situation. So 2007... he says he's going to release a sequel to the first book and that it would include details on A-Rod, and basically calls A-Rod a hypocrite. Oof. And so in that same year, A-Rod does an interview with Katie Couric and denies using any drugs ever. Granted, this is all in the time scheme of Jose saying that, like, drugs should be legalized and they're fine and that he's done
right,
them.
Right, right. And then in 2009, Sports Illustrated actually reports that A-Rod, among others, tested positive for steroids back in 2003, the same year that he'd actually broken a number of records and won awards.
Yep.
Do we think that's a coincidence?
Definitely not.
So the hot goss here, to use your word, is that in 2003, the MLB actually conducted what was supposed to be an anonymous drug testing survey of baseball players to see whether a mandatory drug testing program would be necessary, which I find hard to believe. Like, of course you should be testing these players. Like, some of these records,
it should test any player. Like, I just feel like the pressure is so intense for them.
Right.
I'm across literally all of the leagues. I can't even imagine what it must be like to come from, it doesn't even matter what position you're in, right? But you come into this place where, like, you're this super talented athlete, you're carrying a team on your back for, like, forever play out, like, playoffs. You're obviously, like, you've got millions of dollars on the line. Right. And so I just think the pressure must be so intense to perform.
Yeah.
That there also must be this, like, kind of voice in the back of your head, or real voices coming from outside of you saying, like, just take a steroid. Like, nobody's going to know. It's going to help out.
And I'm sure, especially as you age, right? Because you always have these young bucks coming up and,
for sure,
you know, they want to prove themselves. And then I just feel like it's so cutthroat and it's so public. And especially when you're supposed to be the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's amplified. So after the survey, a government sealed report detailed that 104 out of 1,200 players tested positive for performance enhancers. We don't know exactly what they were testing, but basically just a wide array of these steroids. And at the time, there were no punishments or penalties, because remember, the results were supposed to remain anonymous. The MLB didn't have rules against use. So they just wanted to kind of see what the lay of the land was, really. And the results were actually supposed to be destroyed. But then there was these federal raids, like a series of raids of drug labs in various areas. And actually the list of those 104 people was given to the MLB. And little side note, that the government was raiding a bunch of these places after it was coming to light more about the extent of drug use in sports. So I think that they just started catching on and started raiding all these places. And in 2004, funnily enough, the MLB actually made drug testing mandatory go forward.
Right. So then after that 2009, you know, Sports Illustrated report comes out, A-Rod eventually admits that he used the steroids or some kind of, like, performance-enhancing drug from 2001 to 2003 while he was in Texas with the Rangers. And kind of similar to what we were talking about, he said it was because of big pressure to perform and because, you know, they were, like, trying to win the playoffs and all these things. And so he actually said that he was never told that he was one of the players who tested positive, and that all of his years in New York, because – granted, he's admitted this in 2009, right? So he's now in the Yankees, but he's talking about his time in Texas. And he says that all of his years in New York thus far were clean. And he then goes on to agree that he'll get clean and won't use again. And I just feel like, I don't know if that's how getting clean works. Like, you don't just agree and, like, pinky promise that you're done with steroids forever.
Yeah, I feel like once you're on them and you feel the difference, I'm sure it's pretty hard to not.
Yeah.
Especially when you go, I also didn't believe it. Like, I don't believe it. It's easy to be like, yeah, that's when I was on that other team. But now that you're on the Yankees, of course you're not going to say that it was while you were on the Yankees. You're on the Yankees now. So it's in your best interest to lie.
Right.
And some other fun facts in 2009, because, you know, I love me some fun facts. Apparently, A-Rod was nicknamed the Cooler by some players around this time and before because of the perception that teams went cold when he joined them and hot when he left.
Wow. So he sucks.
So people were hating on him, even though he broke all these records, like you said, but he would have his moments. And so in my head, I wonder, what were those moments where he wasn't using the roids,
and that was when he was just basic,
maybe. Yeah, so, like, how much of
that's
this
when was
real?
Chuggy.
Yeah.
Thanks, TikTok.
Okay. He was also called A Fraud, like A Rod, you know, A Fraud. Get it? From teammates, and particularly from club attendants, who I had to look up what a club attendant was. They're players who basically get players whatever they need, essentially.
Ooh, I like that. I need a club attendant.
Your face right now, you're like, maybe I can play baseball. As if that's an option.
I
for real.
A club attendant.
Just to have someone serve you would be fantastic, wouldn't it? They allegedly, they resented his demands. I could only imagine what he was demanding of them. But some people said, no, these were just jokey jokes, essentially. We just like to tease him. His name was A Fraud. You know, he loves that. We said it to his face. Literally, people said, we said it to his face. And I'm like, did he fire you after that? I don't know.
Or there were, like, some NDAs they can't talk about anything that really happened.
Exactly.
Well, so in 2011, you know, A-Rod starts to face some serious allegations that he participated in illegal poker games hosted by various elites from Hollywood, where cocaine was openly used.
Gasp.
Shocking.
When people act surprised that drug use was a thing, I'm like, really? Are we surprised that there was cocaine at a party?
Was a thing. It is still a thing.
There was marijuana there. I saw him smoking. No. Mary Jane. I saw it.
The reefer. Well, so allegedly one game was hosted by a record exec in Beverly Hills, and it turned violent, apparently, after the music producer refused to pay $500,000 in poker debts. Listen, I too would turn violent if I owed somebody $500,000.
If you owed it, I thought you were going to say that if someone owed it to you.
Either way.
We would never bet $500,000 on a poker game.
No, there's no way. There's truly no chance.
Yeah.
But so the MLB ends up investigating A-Rod and threatened to suspend him if they found evidence that he was attending these events, but nothing ever came from it. So maybe he was like LeBron and took everybody's cell phones away.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Sure. I, for one, do not believe A-Rod about this. I'm pretty sure he was near the drugs and near the gambling.
Near the poker games, yeah.
Yeah. So 2012, 2013-ish, he starts making a lot of headlines for feuding with the Yankees management over accusations made by A-Rod that the Yankees mishandled his rehab plan after suffering numerous injuries, right? He's been playing for years. He's been getting hurt for years, essentially. So A-Rod starts contending that they continued to play him into 2012 despite having a bad hip, which apparently only got worse. And so it was a big deal because he basically accused them of medical malpractice. So in response, the Yankees team president, Randy Levine, said that he'd feel happy if Rodriguez never played again. Ooh. And GM Brian Cashman said, "I'm not comfortable talking to Alex about this because we feel we are at we're in a litigious environment. Hello and goodbye, that's about it. It's not just Yankees management either. He's putting it at the level of our trainers, our medical staff, the organization, the team." So, like, A-Rod is not necessarily very well-liked on the Yankees, it seems.
Well, it continues to come back. It pokes him again in 2014, and by it, I mean the roids.
Oh, the roids keep coming back,
The roids keep poking him.
It's just after A-Rod.
So, apparently, he was one of many players buying these, like, performance-enhancing drugs from an anti-aging clinic in Miami, even after he vowed that he was clean. Remember, he did the pinky promise.
I believed him.
There was a promise ring at all.
I'm heartbroken.
And so, he ends up getting banned for that season in 2014, in the postseason. Originally, that turned out to be around 211 games. And the ban was all because he was doping, right? And so he was taking this drug, which was against the MLB policy. Mm-hmm. And so he appeals the punishment, and he was the only one to do it, notably, which I think is interesting because, like, why are you appealing something if you did it? But, okay.
That's what I read that the standard was just 50 games suspension if you were caught. And so everybody else got 50 games, but no, this guy wants to appeal it. Go on. Sorry. He just has to. Guilty people, man.
Yeah. Well, okay. So since he's appealing the punishment, he basically gets to keep playing while the appeal is going on. So then ultimately he only ends up getting banned for 162 games instead of the original 211. He basically attempts to cover up his violations to frustrate the investigation. And so that was why the league essentially found that he was, like, guilty of really everything that they thought that he was doing, but, like, enough that he would get punished for an entire season and postseason. Right. And to your point, apparently the standard punishment for the first offense is 50 games, mm-hmm. but they said that his behavior was, like, so detrimental to the sport and to the team because of how kind of negligent and irresponsible he was being and the way that he was using the drugs that they were like, you deserve just a bit more than 50. Mm-hmm. And to even, like, drill that point in further, he ends up being prevented from playing in other, like, pretty known leagues, I think in Nippon and Korea at the same time, because I guess it may have been a common, like, happenstance at that point in time that if people were banned here, they would go there. So they, you know, say that, like, you can't play anywhere else. But so as evidence, there were basically some text messages submitted between A-Rod and the dope doctor. The dope doctor. Yes, you're welcome. And the doctor authenticates these text messages during the arbitration.
Snitch.
And so, you know, A-Rod, which is, like, so dumb to me, pays millions to his lawyers and private investigators to, like, show that it never happened.
Right.
Which I don't understand because, like, if there were text messages and medical records, like, what were you paying them to do?
This must have been why the MLB punished him, right? It must have been stuff like this that he's trying to, what, I don't know, I'm sure destroy evidence.
Right.
Get rid of text messages, pay people off. He's probably paying people off. There's probably other things. To your point, not all of this stuff is public, so we don't know. But he must have been doing stuff to hide it. I mean, come on. The guy's been doping his entire career, I'm pretty sure.
Dope.
The dope doctor. I can't believe you said that. Anyway, that 2014 season, it cost him $25 million in salary. So that's hurtful. That really hurts me. Anyway.
He also got like 272 million. So I'm sure that 25 was like a drop in the bucket.
Can you imagine though?
No, I truly cannot.
The fucking disrespect. And this was the longest drug ban in the history of MLB. So they really made an example of him. All that to say, right? I think it was his arrogance. Like, and I kind of remember that growing up, actually. I really liked A-Rod. The Yankees were my favorite team. And I remember loving him, but he was pretty arrogant. Yeah. So he continues to deny that he used anything. Even after all this, he calls it an injustice. He said he was going to take it to federal court. He ends up filing a lawsuit against the league and the people that he said conspired against him. Well, in February 2014, he ends up dropping the suit and accepted his suspension, but allegedly was refusing to pay his legal fees of around $3 million. So he ends up being sued by his legal team. They end up settling for, I think, about $300,000 or something.
Which is a pretty good deal if you had legal fees of around $3 million.
You just got rid of a zero.
What?
Maybe that's a good tactic. No, I'm saying he was allegedly.
Oh, he dropped to zero.
It was $3 million to 300,000.
Wrong. I was so confused. Okay, I'm just gonna move on from there then.
Okay.
Well, so besides this, A-Rod has some other good deals that are happening for him.
Good deals.
So he's the CEO of A-Rod Corp. He's investing in tech and real estate, wellness and entertainment. He's also invested in Vita Coco, which is the coconut water, Snapchat, Wave, Acorns, and Sonder. He starts Hims and Hers Telehealth with our girl J-Lo, who we'll come back to. He's the chairman of Presidente Beer. He's the partial owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves as of recently. You know, he obviously becomes a media personality and sports broadcaster. And then he's also a cast member on Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. And so he's really got like a lot of balls that he's juggling to kind of keep those millions flowing in. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of millions are also going out because his personal life is a bit of a shit show. Yeah. He married this woman named Cynthia Skirtis from 2002 to 2008 after meeting her in a gym. Cute. They had two daughters together, Natasha and Ella, who are actually really cute girls.
Mm, check them out.
They're really pretty. She files divorce from him in 2008. And she basically cites emotional abandonment of her and her children and extramarital affairs and misconduct.
You know, most people just say irreconcilable differences.
No, she was like, I'm gonna get
this woman is like, fuck you. Mm-hmm, this is exactly what you did to me. Mm-hmm. You cheating ass hoe.
Well, allegedly he was cheating with Madonna, but of course they both denied it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if I was Madonna, I would not want to own that one.
No, no.
Gross.
But then somehow he ends up bagging J-Lo in fucking 2017 and gets engaged to her in 2019.
I feel ashamed because I actually liked that coupling initially.
But he obviously fucked that all up, so we'll get back to that later.
And now I'm ashamed. That's why I'm ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. I liked them together because I thought that he was successful enough, but I didn't know any of this before.
That he's a scumbag?
That part, but I thought maybe he was, you know, when guys get older, so I thought maybe he learned the error of his ways. Yeah. No, he
once a hoe, always a hoe.
Oh, is that the, is that the motto?
Yeah.
All right. So back to 2002, let's dig in here. Cause after A-Rod marries Cynthia Skirtis, he starts a real estate business with her brother, Constantine Skirtis, who we're going to affectionately refer to as
Consti,
because we know we like our nicknames. Do you know that he actually went by Taki or Tacky? I don't know.
I did see that.
T-A-K-I. How would I say that?
The text message is Taki.
Taki? But we're going to call him Consti. So anyway, in this real estate venture of theirs, A-Rod puts up 95% of the capital and Consti puts in 5%. And they agree that Consti is going to receive 5% of the profits. Makes sense, right? And then he's supposed to also get 3% acquisition fee on any properties that they acquire, right? Because this is a real estate company. So they're acquiring different properties and they're going to make money off of those properties.
And I also think because Consti was like on the ground, right? Like A-Rod was off, you know, running multiple businesses and ventures. And at that point he was playing baseball still. So it made sense that like Consti was going to be the one looking for the properties. And so he should benefit in some tangible way from bringing those to the business.
And I think he was already in the biz, right? Like he ran a lending firm, so he knew the real estate market and all that. So he was going to be the brains. A-Rod was going to be the capital.
Yeah.
So in 2005, A-Rod allegedly convinced Consti to defer that 3% acquisition fee so it could go back into the company, essentially be more cash for the company to invest in other properties.
Right.
Consti later claims that this amounted to about $8 million of losses for him, allegedly. Allegedly. And this is something that I want you to talk about because you were very excited about this.
Well, so there was this great picture in 2006 that was taken at a steakhouse where A-Rod, Consti, and Warren Buffett are out having steaks and root beer floats discussing real estate. And apparently, allegedly, I'm really going to put a strong allegedly on this because I don't know if I believe it. Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett was like, this is such a great business plan. Like, I admire you guys so much. I'm like, there's no fucking way on God's green earth that Warren Buffett admired A-Rod for his real estate business.
Right. I agree. No. I saw that too. No. And he was like, come golfing with me. Let's get some Omaha steaks. Mm-hmm. Like there was such specific details. You know, when someone's lying, mm-hmm. they get real they just, specific. Like,
making things up. Yeah.
And literally when I read it, then he was like, come get an Omaha steak. I'm like, wait, can you imagine if I invite you to a dinner and I'm like, Nicole, you want to go out for some Omaha steaks?
You'd be I would be like, this bitch is trying to show off.
Oh, I thought it would be a serial killer trying to, you know, lure me. But okay, show off.
All right.
So by 2008, their real estate business was allegedly valued at $1 billion. So maybe Warren Buffett did say that, you know, $1 billion. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It had approximately 5,000 apartments and other units, right? Generating all this income.
Well, so allegedly in 2008, Consi gets forced out after A-Rod divorces his sister, Cynthia. Before, there were already kind of some rumors that things were on the rocks and A-Rod was doing her dirty. Mm-hmm. So Consi apparently pulled A-Rod aside and made him look him in the eyes and promised that he'd never been unfaithful to Cynthia. Because, you know, naturally, cheaters tend to...
Tell the truth?
Tell the truth when put in corners. So, yeah,
also,
I'm sure.
Also, isn't Consi like a little man? A-Rod's like 6'3". Consi looks small in pictures.
Consi's a tiny guy.
Can you imagine him... A-Rod, like from like his kneecap. Don't cheat on my sister.
Well, so to Cynthia's point earlier, basically they split up because of the rumors that he'd been cheating on with Madonna. And so clearly there's like a trend for him, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, well, as I said, we'll get back to this later.
Cheating.
Cheater, cheater, cheater. But so Consi alleges that he's forced out because A-Rod was unhappy with the divorce settlement with Cynthia. And I think, you know, Consi thought that A-Rod may have felt like taken advantage of because Cynthia definitely did not walk away broke, mm-hmm. as she shouldn't have, right? Like, she was married to him for a long time, had their two daughters, fine.
Get
she was
it, girl.
Used to a certain style of life.
And clearly he was a pig, so yeah, get your money.
Right. Get your check, boo-boo.
Mm-hmm. So he claims that A-Rod starts to act shady around this time, right? Mm-hmm. He alleges that A-Rod promoted a property manager to COO to squeeze Consi out of the operations. Remember, he was supposed to be the brains behind everything. But now he's got someone else doing all that. And then he also says that A-Rod took his name off of some of these sub-companies that basically owned these individual properties after the divorce, thus blocking him out of earnings from these properties.
Mm-hmm.
But in a super sweet move by A-Rod, he sends Consi a text. And I feel like, again, I want you to talk about it because you were super excited about this text message.
I'm going to put the voice on it. Okay. So Consi included this text in court documents later on. But so it says, this is A-Rod's voice, mind you. Talkie.
Oh, this is A-Rod?
Yep, this is Talkie.
Okay.
I'm sorry things went down this way, bro. I have the utmost respect for you and have a lot of love for you. I know I handled your deal wrongly. I hope to have a long, calm, loving discussion over lunch. Me and you alone. I also, do not believe this is the end for us.
That's great. That's, I believe.
First of all, the punctuation is all fucked up.
I was going to say, there's like capital. Yeah, the random capital letters.
Capital letters in weird places that you guys can't see. But like,
this is a Roids text.
It's a smoking gun.
This is the Roids speaking. You know, the Roids would probably be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, so much emotion, right?
But I also just feel like, do you want to put in a text message that you handled his deal wrongly and that like you did him dirty?
It doesn't look good.
No.
It doesn't look good. And we don't want to give it away for all of our listeners yet, but it's not looking good for A-Rod now.
Well, it only got worse, right? Because then Hurricane Ike came and hit Florida and basically some of the properties in the company ended up completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, it's not really clear what happened, but 6 years later, in December 14, Consi brings a lawsuit against A-Rod for approximately $50 million. And so Consi says that A-Rod committed mortgage fraud and insurance fraud, which basically means that he was scamming banks and insurers, mm-hmm. In connection with the hurricane-damaged houses. And so supposedly A-Rod and other upper management in their company were falsifying documents by fraudulently writing rent checks to themselves to make it seem like the properties had tenants when they didn't. And so they then paid themselves with that money, but basically characterized it as consulting fees on the book. So it's fraud because they're like making up all these circumstances and ledgers to show banks.
Right.
And then they also allegedly inflated damages with the insurance company to get money that had to do with the damaged houses. So it even went so far at least as Consi says, they had two separate books. And so there was one with the damages that showed them being much higher than they really were. And there was one that had like the accurate numbers, which is like dumb. Like, why would you keep two books?
Broken window. Real records. Broken window. Fake records. Whole house is demolished.
Why would you keep? I just don't understand like why you would have two books with that shit. Like stupid.
It is stupid. But it's A-Rod. This is why we don't believe Warren Buffett really said this.
No. He never said that shit.
And then, interestingly enough, back in 2009, one of the employees from that same real estate company blows the whistle on this alleged insurance and mortgage fraud, and she filed a lawsuit against A-Rod, and they reached a settlement. Confidential.
Good for her.
But they reached a settlement, so that makes me think this looks a little sus.
She got paid off.
She did. And she must have seen something, though, because otherwise, why would she go through the trouble of suing him?
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And he allegedly sold off properties without Consti's approval, which again, Consti, they're supposed to be in a partnership, so you shouldn't be able to sell properties mm-hmm. without the partners. Okay. And this is a fun fact.
Do you want a fun fact?
Okay. One of the attorneys representing Consti was actually the former lead prosecutor on that college admissions bribery case with Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. This is that whole USC debacle.
Such a random story.
I know, but
we should come back and do an episode on this.
Should we?
Yeah.
Listeners, let us know.
Okay. Please comment in our DMs.
Then Consti speaks out to the Daily News. He said that he has a positive career and doesn't want to be involved in litigation, but wants to do what's right. He also says it's not about the money, that he's been successful as president of a lending firm.
I love when people say that it's not about the money. Like, you just sued for $50 million. It's clearly about the money.
I just want to do what's right.
For $50 million.
For $50 million, yeah. I also think it's funny because I saw that in his own complaint, he acknowledged that he actually owes millions in acquisition and management fees in connection with his businesses. So what do you mean you don't need the money, bro?
He needs the money.
You proofreading your ish? Because it doesn't look like it.
No. Well, so A-Rod didn't believe him either. A-Rod basically tries to have the suit dismissed and mentions this like membership agreement where Consti allegedly assigned his rights away, but Consti, of course, denies this. Mm-hmm. So in 2015, according to the New York Daily News, at least, Consti files an amended complaint for two times the original amount for $100
million. $100
million.
It's not about the money, Nicole. Mm-hmm. It's just the principle. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the principle got doubled.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yep.
So he brings claims for some fun ones.
A bunch of boring ones, including breach of fiduciary duty. I can't even say it. Breach of contract, unjust enrichment, and tortious interference. But there are some juicy ones.
Fraudulent criminal activity are our faves. So a fraud, right? Coming back at you.
A fraud.
including embezzlement, obtaining property by fraud, insurance fraud, forgery, mail fraud, wire fraud. I think these are all things just we've fraud. Talked about. Yeah, just all the frauds. This guy was like, how many other ways can you fraud somebody? Yeah. I'm going to make it up, right? Insta-fraud. So he says that A-Rod and a couple others sold properties owned by their company to themselves at hugely discounted prices. So apparently this is like just an example, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot. We're not going to get into it all. But another one.
He, Consti, said that mm-hmm. there was a $388,000 lien on his home from the IRS due to false information that A-Rod apparently filed in a tax return. Mm. So I guess somehow A-Rod said that Consti was paid more than $2 million in capital gains from their company's real estate sales. But Consti says he was never paid this. But essentially, if you say that you're paid that amount of money, of course you owe taxes.
Right.
So the lien came back on his house. And A-Rod somehow only reported that he like had all these tax breaks, so he didn't owe any money essentially to the government.
Great,
which is impressive.
A-Rod's good. Yep. Of course, that's how it works, right? Yep. The wealthy mm-hmm. never have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. So simultaneously, Consti files an injunction, and you're right, an injunction we've talked about, but it basically makes the court do something for you. But he wanted the court to prevent A-Rod from transferring assets or selling anything to avoid judgment. So he was afraid that A-Rod was going to try to offload his stuff so that he couldn't repay him. So things are just getting vicious. And then at some point, A-Rod files a counterclaim saying that Consti actually took $1.4 million out of the business without authorization in 2004 and 2005. Although I didn't see that this went much further. I don't know if there's been any movement here. I think that they're just throwing stones now.
I mean, at this point, it's just like it's a duty fight.
Yep. Duty fight. We're in kindergarten. That's like, I love when I get the flashes of you being a teacher and you're like, don't say that. That's bad. Say duty. Don't say shit. Say duty.
Well, so in 2018, A-Rod again tries to get the case dismissed, but the judge rules against him and says that the case can proceed to trial, which was another swing and miss for, what was it called, the cooler?
The cooler. Yeah, the cooler.
You're welcome.
You really did that cheesy baseball pun, a swing and a miss?
Yeah, I felt like it was right.
Oh, producer Marge is loving that.
Were you into it?
She's producer really Marge into it.
Here for it. Thank you. Well, so recently, Consti files a further amended complaint in December 2020. And so he accuses A-Rod of racketeering, also known as RICO violations, embezzlement, and truly 56 other counts. So basically a lot of the same shit that we already said, but with more kind of legal claims. And so my favorite part, because now I have a favorite part. So Consti brings up in his amended complaint that A-Rod cheated on his ex-wife and then basically says that A-Rod also cheated Consti out of his money. And so the judge is like, okay, my guy, I get you, but his infidelities are irrelevant to this case and I'm not going to let you turn this into a soap opera.
Right. And you're not lying. It literally said that in the complaint.
Yeah.
He's like, if this man can cheat on a woman, he can cheat on me.
I love it. I love the dramatics. Yes.
This is why you can't be taken seriously, right?
Nope.
All of these lawsuits, he's amended his claims four times. This is the fourth time over how many years, right? And A-Rod's team continues to say that the claims are baseless and that he can't get his claims together. He's a mess. A week later, A-Rod's team says that, quotes, that Consti's complaint continues to contain impertinent and scandalous statements clearly intended to harass and prejudice the defendants. So basically, they go on to say that he's doing this to publicly humiliate, impugn, and disparage Mr. Rodriguez and others. So Consti is trying to continue to shake down Rodriguez from
the is he, is so he shaking him down? I just feel like that's not fair. Like, if he cheated him out of deals, I don't think it's a shakedown if you're trying to get money that you're, you know, actually owed.
Okay, wait. Let's see what else they have to say.
Fuck
so
you.
He's shaking him A-Rod. Down.
That was not and for you. Sorry.
I was like,
that
whoa, was for I'm A-Rod. Just reading. I'm just reading the thing.
I feel like I should clarify it's like you, that I'm also reading the statement
you wrote
and just
this
thinking,
part.
I know, fuck you, A-Rod.
So he's trying to shake down A-Rod for money. And that he's trying to escape repayment of substantial monies owed, which is the subject of a countersuit against him. But how much money is really owed, I wonder? Because, again, I go back to the 95-5 split.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the money, I'd assume, would actually be A-Rod's, not little, you know,
well,
Consti's.
So I think the issue is if they owed all these, if they owned all these properties and A-Rod was selling them out with selling those properties without consulting or asking Consti and then keeping the profits of those sales and not paying him out for that 5% or 3%, whatever the case is, then he could actually, especially if the company was actually worth $1 billion, like we said before,
mm-hmm.
I could see an instance in which all of these properties across Miami could like total up to, you know, 50, 70 million and then plus like any punitive, again, like fees that are kind of due out as a punishment.
I mean, you're not wrong because it makes me think that A-Rod's defense at one point was that apparently there was that assignment agreement where A-Rod says that mm-hmm. Consti gave away his rights in the company.
Right.
So really that might be the smoking gun because if that's not true
mm-hmm.
or in other, yeah, if it's not true, then he probably wasn't paying out his sales. Mm-hmm. I guess mm-hmm. in my head I was thinking he had been paying him out for the profits from the sales.
Yeah.
But if A-Rod's whole defense is, no, he doesn't have a cut of it anymore, then you're probably right. He hasn't been paying him for any of these sales.
Yeah.
All right. I see your point. So quickly, let's break down just these two additional claims that our boy Consti has added to his newest Fourth Amendment, right? So racketeering and RICO. Racketeering is what happens when somebody tries to acquire a business through illegal activity or operates a business with illegally derived income or uses a business to commit illegal acts, right? So evidence is the stuff we've talked about here. Consti's saying that he was pushed out of the company, that that membership agreement never occurred. He hasn't been getting the profits, right? RICO is pretty similar, but a little bit different. So it stands for Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. It was created by the government to go after syndicated mobs and mafia, really, and it's a criminal statute for the most part, but it can be used in civil cases in very limited instances. And so the RICO Act focuses specifically on racketeering, but it allows the leaders of a syndicate, and by syndicate we're thinking, think mob, mafia, to be tried for the crimes that they ordered others to do or assisted them in doing And this really was meant to close a perceived loophole, because up until this act, mob bosses were getting away with things because it was like their little minions doing the stuff on their behalf. So the government couldn't get these big mob bosses, right? So they came up with this RICO. So it's oftentimes, though, difficult to prove, as you could imagine, because mm-hmm. you have to prove that somebody is making other people right. do it on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And the courts really do look down on these claims coming from individuals. This was really supposed to be a tool for the government to go after these right. big syndicates. So here, again, Constantine is basically trying to cover himself, right? We've talked about this a lot, but a lot of times when you're suing people, you'll throw every claim under the sun because you don't know what's going to stick. Right. And in my opinion, that's what he's trying to do here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think that this is going to work, but he's probably just doing it in a last-ditch effort.
Well, on the other hand, I do think he's got a probably better case with embezzlement. And so embezzlement is basically when you're stealing money from a person or a company that you had a fiduciary duty to. And again, that's like an obligation to act in their best interest. Mm-hmm. And so this most often happens when employees or employers kind of skim money from the company that they're working for. And so again, the evidence is the stuff that we've already talked about, but think about like the forged checks, for the mortgage, or the, you know, forged kind of statements and, you know, books that they were providing for like insurance companies to get money back. So there's definitely, I think there's a better basis for the embezzlement claims probably than the racketeering and the RICO. Mm-hmm. But so again, the complaint kind of contains evidence about the fraud claims. So he's finally kind of submitted some copies of fake checks that we've mentioned before. It's not really clear to me how he got these things as of December 2020, but hasn't been able to obtain them since 2002. But all right, fine.
Actually, that's a good point, because he even admitted that he didn't have access to a lot of the stuff until he started suing them and getting stuff through discovery.
Right.
So I feel like he's discovering a lot of stuff for the first time.
Very late in the game.
During discovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so he also has a letter written by the attorney who represented that former employee who blew the whistle on the fraud before. And so the judge basically sees all these new claims and all this new evidence and sets March 19th as a mediation hearing. But there's ultimately no success. And there was really little indication that it would kind of work out based on the past years of litigation with Consti suing and A-Rod counterclaiming and A-Rod trying to dismiss and Consti bringing new claims. So there was no reason to think that March 19th was really going to work out. But the judge ultimately refuses to dismiss the case and says that A-Rod is really going to have to face these allegations in the amended complaint, but ultimately said that Consti also can't keep amending because this is now his fourth amended complaint. So it's like, bro, if you haven't had time over these past, 14 years to figure out what your claims are, like, it's enough.
Right. The judge is over it, too. Yeah. He's like, A-Rod, I get it, man.
He's fed up.
So May 2021, I feel like this is the most exciting aspect of this whole story. So you please just keep talking.
Well, so J-Lo and A-Rod break up, right? could you be more of an idiot?
Talk about claims, huh?
Well, so allegedly, there were some cheating rumors. He supposedly had a little tryst with Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm on Bravo, which is interesting because I don't like Southern Charm, but for some reason I watched this season. I think just because I was bored at home. Mm. You know, it's a little too
COVID-ier.
It's not diverse enough for my taste, honestly.
A little white.
It's a little white. And so we were sitting at home. I had nothing else to do, so I watched this season. Mm-hmm. And so I vividly remember in the reunion, one of the cast members being like, and then she was DMing this Major League Baseball player. And I was like, oh, who was it? Not that I know anything about baseball, but I'm completely intrigued.
The one time you're interested in baseball.
The one time I'm interested in baseball. And then two, three weeks later, it comes out, this whole J-Lo, or the whole A-Rod and Madison thing.
That's how it started.
Holy fuck, this bitch was texting J-Lo's man? J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez's man on this God green earth, you did that, Madison?
You're right. Ugh. Right. But isn't she denied it?
Yeah. She denied it, but the cast member said that it was A-Rod.
But wasn't the cast member like her ex-boyfriend?
There were a couple of them that said that it was A-Rod.
Oh, there were multiple.
The one who originally brought it up was the ex-boyfriend.
Oh, so he's a little salty.
I mean, listen, A-Rod, ultimately, like, cheating is your thing. Like, you cheated on your original wife who birthed your two beautiful daughters.
Yep.
Who supported you through the beginning of your career.
Yep. He's gross. Because, you know, he, around that time when that happened, right before they divorced, I think, I was reading that he denied all cheating allegations, right? Because he's a celebrity, so people make it public. And apparently, he was photographed with his wife leaving a restaurant one night. And the very next night, the Paps got him walking out with a stripper.
He's disgusting.
And he still denied it.
He's truly disgusting.
It was just his friend. It was a little study buddy. So where are we at now?
Well, so besides the breakup and the cheating and the rumors and A-Rod's super fucking desperate Instagram posts, he basically has to live through this breakup and then in August go to court to face the jury to answer for all these claims about the racketeering and the RICO and the embezzlement.
Right.
And so it sounds like he, if he's found guilty, at least he may have to pay millions of dollars in damages. Mm-hmm. And if the government like brings charges against him, he could have to face a maximum of 30 years in jail if, like, you know, he's found guilty of the RICO charges.
Right, the criminal stuff.
Yeah.
Which, right now, there is none, but we'll see how this August
But I think if the evidence stacks up against him and Consi does have some stuff that points to, like, racketeering and RICO, there's definitely a good case that the government could step in and be like, okay, we have some claims, too, that we want to address.
Can you imagine karma if she really comes after him like this?
Though? Yeah.
After all these years of him cheating and really getting away with it because he's still been able to make hundreds of millions of dollars, this could be the nail in the coffin for him.
Yep.
This is pretty big.
And I'm not going to wish prison on him because I don't wish prison on anybody, and he's got two kids who, you know, should know their father, but he also doesn't need to have hundreds of millions of dollars in his bank account if he's doing it fraudulently.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't talking about that part, but I think that he should definitely have to pay back if that's what happened. And I'm not going to be surprised if that's the case because he's lied a lot of times to a lot of people about his cheating way. So I'm with Consti. If you can cheat on a woman, you can cheat me out of my money. That's my new motto.
Well, so 2021 is clearly just not A-Rod's year. I mean, he's got this ongoing, literally, what, 17-year battle with his ex-brother-in-law over his possible embezzlement and fraud with the real estate company.
He's 56 charges, Nicole.
56 charges. He's dealing with his breakup from the baddest bitch in the world.
Yeah.
And so 2021 is honestly just saying fuck you, A-Rod.
So do you have any advice for our listeners?
Stop being a cheating hoe bag.
Stop being a cheater. So all you listeners out there who are being cheating hoe bags, stop.
Don't do that.
Is that what I'm saying? Yeah.
Or at least if you're going to cheat, like, cover it up. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Just be smarter.
But you have millions of dollars. There's no way you couldn't have done this.
Yeah.
First of all, let me not say that. I take that back because I don't believe in cheating, period. So, like, I'm not going to advocate for people covering it up no matter how much money they have.
But I see your point, though. You're going to say, I think your point is if you're going to act stupid, then be smart about acting stupid.
But, like, Bill Gates couldn't even do it, so there's no way A-Rod was going to do it.
Bill Gates is socially stupid,
though. Is a genius. But he's still a genius.
In one way.
Sure, fine. But if he can't cheat smartly, there's no way A-Rod is cheating smartly.
All right, I'm not even going to top that. We should end on that note.
What's your... That's wise. Okay, that's it for
you. No, that was really wise. I'm not even going to try to top it. I'll give it to you this one time. Okay. This one time. Otherwise, you're going to hear a lot of me. Go forward. So thanks for tuning in today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, feel free to connect with us on our socials at Legally Judgy. Until next time.
Bye.
Fuck you, A-Rod.